This is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Wednesday. I'm James Erpine. It is great to be with you on Twitter at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. Subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcast. I'll be honest, it doesn't feel like just Wednesday to me. It's been a crazy week already. Bengals play tomorrow night. This is our fourth podcast of the week. We've had three great ones, if I say so myself, this week. If you've missed them, from my game day reaction podcast on Sunday to what I said on Monday to yesterday with Joe Goodberry, make sure you check them out. I think that the Bengals passed their first test. I'm ready to see their second test, and that's where we'll start to look at, point at, and discuss between today and then tomorrow as well. We will have a podcast tomorrow morning. We'll have another podcast reacting to the game either Friday morning early or later, late at night on Thursday. I'm hoping, I would love to do it Thursday night. Won't be in studio if I do, so it'll be interesting to see which one we do. But hey, that's the good thing. It's a daily Bengals podcast. We're coming at you Monday through Friday, every single day. And please subscribe if you haven't, if you're new to the podcast. I'm James Erpine. I work for ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW. Cover the Bengals for them here in Cincinnati. And on today's show, well, we're packed. We're stacked and we're loaded. Mark Schofield of Locked On Patriots going to join us. He looked at every single pass play from Colts Bengals, and I caught up with him earlier today on ESPN 1530, so you'll hear part of that conversation. I also caught up with Alex Erickson, who signed a two-year contract extension with the Bengals. You'll hear that interview coming up in a bit. But first, let's start with the guy who made the play of the game. Clayton Fedgelum made the play of the day against the Colts, where he comes in relief of Sean Williams. Then he has a pretty nice day overall. He's around the ball. Heck, he almost had that on the roughing the passer call on Carlos Dunlap, the second one that caused the fumble. That was Clayton Fedgelum. Clayton Fedgelum was the one who was there, so he's all around the ball all day. I caught up with him earlier, actually yesterday. I was going to say earlier today. But that's what I'm used to. But yesterday in the Bengals locker room, and I asked him, starting out, what was going through his mind when he found out that Sean Williams was ejected?
No, just a next man up mentality in that kind of situation. You know, it's unfortunate to have, you know, a vet, a leader like Sean go down. I mean, he's a team captain. You know, him going out in the first quarter, you know, it's unfortunate for the team. But I said, all right, well, my day just got a lot longer. You know, it's one of those things. You just get out in the field and go play the next play.
Is it hard to be ready for that or prep for that, knowing that your primary role is special teams going into the game? Is it hard to say, oh, well, there's a chance I could play 50 snaps today?
Yeah, no, I prepare the same way that, you know, if I go out there just like a starter, or if I was one to go out there, you know, anything can happen. You know, first play of the game, you know, it's football. We're out there banging heads. You know, people are falling all the time. Whatever happens, someone can get hurt on any play. You know, this was, you know, luckily it was an ejection in the sense that, you know, Sean's healthy and all that kind of stuff. But injuries happen all the time, so you never know when you're going to be called. You never know when your number's going to come up.
Clayton Fedgelum, talking with him in the Bengals locker room for a few more minutes. What went through your mind when you picked up that ball in the fourth quarter?
Well, I was thinking before the play, you know, the situation, you know, they still had a lot of timeouts. So I knew that, you know, it wasn't a situation where I wanted to jump on it and kill the clock. It was kind of, you know, advance as much as I could, whatever, for field position. And then it just kind of opened up where I was able to go all the way with it.
Were you worried Andrew was going to get you?
I knew I made him miss earlier in the game, so I knew I could make him miss again. So I thought I had him. I did. So.
Did you keep the ball?
I do. I did. I took it home yesterday, so I have the ball.
How many throughout your career? How many different balls have you kept from plays? And where does this one rank?
This is probably the best. I mean, it's first touchdown in the NFL. Yeah. You know, I only keep the ball on, you know, a big thing. So, you know, I had a touchdown in college, kept that ball after a punt block, touchdown, all that kind of stuff. But I have my first interception from last year, and then this one for the NFL.
Talking with Clayton Fedgelum in the Bengals locker room. Obviously, it's a short week. Quick turnaround. As high of emotions as you guys had on Sunday, you got to quickly prepare for the Ravens. How hard is that for you guys?
It's a lot of information jammed into a couple of days. You know, the biggest thing is just getting your body right, because it's, like you said, such a quick turnaround. So when you get healthy by Thursday, you get yourself back to 100%. As far as the X and O's, you know, we took all the preparation from camp, you know, when you had those extra days after your last preseason game, do a little extra for Baltimore, that kind of stuff. So, you know, we feel prepared. Now it's just, you know, get everyone's bodies fresh and ready to go.
How many changes can you make offensively or defensively on such a quick turnaround? I know the coaches started working on the game plan for Baltimore last week. So can you make as many changes on a short week as you do normally?
Your game plan is not as extensive. But, you know, there are some adjustments that will be made, tweaks, you know, based on if you have stuff based on, you know, personnel, someone gets hurt week one. You know, there's always changes in football. You know, the roster isn't going to be exactly the same as it was the week before. So you can do those, you know, small adjustments.
Last question for you, Clayton. As far as the Ravens offense goes, what did you notice from them? Obviously, they had some success against the Bills on Sunday.
Yeah, they had a lot of success, but, you know, we've had so much film on them. We've division team. We play in postseason. You know, they have a lot of the key elements still there. So, you know, we have a very similar plan that we've had, you know, in years past. You know, take care of the quarterback. You know, he's got great arm strength. And, you know, just control the field position and, you know, control the ball. Get some turnovers.
Clayton, I appreciate the time. Good luck Thursday.
Thank you.
Good stuff there from Clayton Fedulum. And he made the play of the day. And that's the one thing with this team I will say. They have some depth. They have some talent at most of their spots. You know, they have four or five guys. They have multiple safeties. They have multiple defensive linemen. They have multiple linebackers. I mean, they're without one already, and I think they might be without two. From what I'm hearing, Preston Brown, he's listed as questionable. It's highly questionable right now with that foot, that ankle that he injured on Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see if he can go. If not, Nick Vigil, Jordan Evans, etc., excuse me, they're going to have to step up for this team, especially against the Ravens, who are going to run a lot of crossing routes and other things like that. We'll talk Ravens and more with Mark Schofield coming up in just a few minutes here, host of Locked On Patriots. He does work for InsideThePylon.com. That's why he was studying the Colts and the Bengals. Or maybe he was just preparing for the AFC title game because he knows New England's going to be facing either the Bengals or the Colts. I kid. Up next, though, you're going to hear my conversation with Alex Erickson. I love this move. And heck, I almost did an emergency podcast on Saturday. I did not. But yeah, I caught up with him after he signed a 2-year contract extension. That's next. But first, a word from my bookie, because where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. My bookie is where it's at. This is the week, by the way. If you're looking as a Bengals fan at the line, the last I saw it, the Bengals are 1-point underdogs at home. I would buy that. Now, do I guarantee a win? No, I don't. I'm not saying that. But if you're betting and you're got a team at home that's pretty close to the team, and I think roster-wise they're close, you might consider betting on the home team tomorrow. But where you bet just as important as who you're betting on. So whether it's NFL, whether it's Major League Baseball, NBA, whatever you want to bet on, you should try MyBookie. I use it weekly. It's something I use, and right now, if you make your first deposit, well, they're going to match you dollar for dollar with promo code LOCKEDON. That's all you got to do. Let's say you want to put in $15, they can match it. Let's say you want to put in $100 or $1,000, they'll match it. All you got to do is use promo code LOCKEDON and check out MyBookie. That's MyBookie, promo code LOCKEDON, and they'll match your first deposit. I'm James Rapine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast. I love that Alex Erickson got that contract extension. I love it. I called him a lock to make the roster early on in camp when I first saw that. Oh, he can play slot. That dude, he's making his way. He's doing it. He's playing slot at a high level. That's when I was like, okay, he's going to make the team. And I know when Darius Phillips, I went back and read what I wrote. When Darius Phillips got drafted, I was like, oh, Alex Erickson on notice. No. This guy's just too valuable because he can be the special teams guy and also contribute on offense. Tyler Boyd goes down, Alex Erickson, even if it's for a couple of plays, Alex Erickson could slide right in. That's valuable. That's important. Alex Erickson is an important member of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I caught up with him to ask him about his contract, to ask him about the Baltimore Ravens, and so much more. Here's my one-on-one interview with Bengals wide receiver Alex Erickson.
Let's start with the news that kind of got buried after the big win on Sunday. Saturday, you signed a two-year extension with the Bengals. So what does that mean to you?
It means a lot. I mean, obviously, this is a great place, great organization. Place that I, see myself continue to get better, continue to grow, and hopefully I continue to do that and continue to expand my role as a player on this team, whether special teams or offensively. It was good news.
You went from undrafted free agent, an fringe roster guy trying to battle for a roster spot to making the roster in 2016.
Yep.
What was a happier moment for you professionally when you found out you made the 53-man roster as a rookie or Saturday signing that contract extension?
Oh, man, that's tough. Probably, in the beginning when breaking through and making the roster for the first year, just because it was – you just don't know. You don't know whether you're good enough, whether you can play. Obviously, you believe in yourself and all that, but until you actually go out and do it, all that's just hearsay. So, going out and then actually proving it and doing it and then, contributing that year and stuff like that, and then now it's just – can you continue to build and continue to grow? And obviously signing an extension, put some affirmation on the work that's been done. And but it also it's just the start of it too. There's a lot of work to be had, a lot of improvement to be done. And that's all I'm going to focus on, just getting better and just trying to help this team win.
A few more questions for Alex Erickson in the Bengals locker room. You mentioned the affirmation.
Yeah.
And when a coaching staff or an organization has the confidence to give you a contract extension, is that motivation to want to almost hold up your end of the bargain and work harder and not only prove yourself, but hold up your end of the bargain and help the team win?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it should. Obviously, you're here for a reason. You're here to do what you do and contribute. And so, like I said, no matter what it is, in special teams, whether it's return man and then, expand on that role in special teams. How can I, add to that and maybe help in the other phases too? And then offensively, just continue to do whatever's asked of me and just continue to get better. It's simple, but at the same time, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and it's just the start of the season, and we're expecting big things.
I think fans look at you and see special team where he returns punts and kicks and stuff. But yeah. I was there at training camp. You certainly had an impact from the slot position on offense, obviously in the preseason as well. What has your development been like on that side? Obviously, we haven't seen it in the regular season much yet. But what's changed for you over the past couple of years and just the understanding of the offense and fitting in?
Yeah, I think that's huge. Understanding how our offensive scheme works and being in the right spot at the right time and how to work defenders versus man and get open. And, I think it's just the continuation of just getting better as a player. All the catches and all that stuff, that'll take care of itself. You can just control what you control, and that's just getting open every single time. And I think it's just a matter of working with these guys. Coach Bicknell's done a great job with us and just seeing the other guys work, obviously playing behind Tyler and AJ and just seeing how those guys work and just learning from them. It's just all learning. And I think it's having that mindset of going in and just trying to learn and get better every single day. You kind of surrender all the other stuff and you're really just focused on what you need to focus on. And it allows you to, have that clear mind and just, really get down to it and get better as a player.
We're chatting with Alex Erickson in the Bengals locker room. Obviously, this is a short week, quick turnaround.
Yeah.
How hard is that? It's hard on the media, I think. So how hard is it as a player to crunch things down to just a couple of days in between games?
Yeah, it is quick turnaround, especially when you get back Sunday night and then, boom, you're back in your Monday and you got the whole game plan, thrown at you. And so it's a lot on you to, as a professional, to learn it and understand it. And because ultimately you're the one that's going to be out there on Thursday night and you got to execute. And then the other side of it is obviously the physical side of it and getting your body back and so you can perform. And you don't want to see a lot of injuries in these quick games because guys aren't covered. So it's important also as a professional to take care of your body and get ready for Thursday night because you want to be as close to 100% as you can.
What have you seen thus far from the Ravens defense from what you've seen on film?
Yeah, they're obviously aggressive. You know, they're going to try to get after us, and they're able to do that in week one. And it was evident that it, you know, caused some problems for Buffalo. So, you know, we know what the Ravens are going to do. Obviously, divisional opponent at home. And so we know what they're going to do. They know they're going to try to know what we're going to do. So it's going to be one of those divisional AFC North games, and we know that, and we're excited for it. And we just got a few more days of prep to, you know, get everything down so that we can come out blazing and continue this thing.
Alex, I appreciate the time. Congratulations again. Good luck on Thursday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That is Alex Erickson, fresh off of a contract extension. And look, I loved it. I loved it. I love that he's a guy who went from undrafted to making the 53 to making the roster his second year to making the roster his third year all the way to now, which is a contract extension through 2020. Great. I mean, it's great. He's locked up now for the next 3 years. Be a free agent the same year as Andy Dalton. I wonder which one's going to have a hotter market, Alex Erickson or Andy Dalton. No, but in all seriousness, I love the move. Those are the moves good organizations make. He reminds me of Matthew Slater. Matthew Slater is a wide receiver. He's listed as a wide receiver, but he's just a special teams ace for the Patriots, and he's been there for a decade. He's been there for a decade. Why? Because he does what he needs to do, and he continues to do it. I'm pretty sure he made this year's roster. But yeah, Matthew Slater is a guy who just every year, Matthew Slater making the tackle on special teams. Now, does Alex Erickson bring more than just special teams? Yes. But casual fans just see him as a returner, which is fine. I think he could be more than that. I really like him in that slot position, and I think he has potential to do that if something were to happen to Tyler Boyd. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Up next, Mark Schofield, InsideThePylon.com and host of Locked On Patriots, will join us. I talked with him earlier today on ESPN 1530 with my broadcast partner, Mo Egger. And he had some really good insight on Bill Lazor's new offense, on the defensive line getting to Andrew Luck, and so much more. But first, I got to tell you about The Athletic. There's a reason I have Joe Goodberry on every single week. There's a reason. I have Joe Goodberry on every single week for our weekly film reviews. Why? Because he gives great content, and that's what you get with The Athletic. I get it. It's a subscription-based service that's new to you. You might not be used to it. It's fine. I'll get you 40% off right now. All you got to do is go to theathletic.com/lockedonbengals, and you get access to all of their content. National NFL coverage, local NFL coverage from Jay Morrison, Joe Goodberry, Mo Egger, etc. College basketball, college football, Major League Baseball. They got Jay Glazer for NFL coverage. They got Ken Rosenthal for Major League Baseball coverage. It's a really good, unique site. No ads, no pop-ups. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. No videos that just pop up and start playing. No, no, no. They write, and they write interesting, unique feature content, whether it's Joe breaking down plays, Mo giving opinions, or Jay Morrison with feature content. Check it out now. All you got to do for 40% off, theathletic.com/lockedonbengals. I'm James Erpine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Let's continue the conversation. I caught up with Mark Schofield earlier today, InsideThePylon.com. He watched every single pass play between the Colts and the Bengals. So he watched Andrew Luck. He watched the Bengals defensive line, the Bengals secondary. He also watched Andy Dalton, Bill Lazor's offense, the Bengals offensive line, etc. Here is my conversation with him. You'll hear my voice. You'll hear Mark's voice. Also my broadcast partner, Mo Egger's voice. We discuss all things Bengals Colts. And I led off by asking Mark about Bill Lazor's new offense and what he did to make life easier on Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, you know, and I think one of the things that he really did in terms of getting Andy Dalton into advantage situations and good situations was there was a focus a lot on the sort of quick passing game, the screen stuff, mesh-type plays where you're working those underneath clears and routes. It's a great way to do a couple of things. You get advantageous mismatches, with potential receivers or running backs on linebackers. And any time you can do that in the pass game, you're going to be successful. Another thing is it gets the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly. It gives him some defined reads and keys to look for in the coverage from the underneath linebackers. And when you get the ball out of the quarterback's hands, you protect him. And you, when you work in those mismatches, you're putting your receivers in position for yardage after the catch as well.
What about what they did against Indianapolis can be expanded upon in tomorrow night for Baltimore?
Well, I think one of the things, if you look at that game that Baltimore had against Buffalo, and, you know, it's hard to take a lot from that game for a couple of reasons. One, that Buffalo roster from top to bottom isn't one of the stronger rosters in the National Football League. Plus, you've got weather situations. It was a rainy, raw, windy kind of day in Baltimore. But there was a similar approach that Baltimore took with their offensive game plan. They did a lot with underneath stuff. Tremaine Edmonds, the rookie linebacker, you know, their first round, one of their two first round picks. He's a young, athletic kid, very talented, and he'll get better. But Baltimore did a lot to attack him in the underneath passing game. They did a lot of routes similar to what Cincinnati was doing against Indianapolis, where, you know, they'd run one defender into a zone, drag him away from his responsibility, and then run somebody back in underneath. So there were a lot of times when Edmonds was sort of vacating his responsibilities, and they were just running a second receiver on an underneath route, and Flacco would have an easy throw. And so I think this is going to be a pretty similar game plan from Cincinnati's perspective. You're going to try to attack underneath, try to attack the young linebacker, get him out of position, and take those easy throws again.
Mark Schofield, InsideThePylon.com, is with us here on Cincy 360. What did you see? I know it's only 1 week, but what did you see from the Bengals receivers? I know last season, outside of A.J. Green, they struggled to get separation in a lot of matchups. Were they able to separate when you went back and watched the film against the Colts?
For the most part, I think they did a good job getting sort of consistent separation. Some of that was helped by scheme. I mean, you look at, you know, one of the touchdown pass, that third quarter touchdown pass at the end of the third quarter, and there was a great job there from a scheme perspective, because you got that underneath curl route, get the safety to sort of bite up on that just enough, and then you've got A.J. Green over the top on that post route for a touchdown. So there was some scheme stuff as well. But, you know, for example, the touchdown throw to, you know, Ross, that was a great route, just that quick little goal line fade to get that quick separation, make it an easier throw for Andy Dalton. That was a very impressive route. And then on those crossers, you know, those crossing routes are great to get that kind of separation that you're looking for consistently from your receivers, working those mismatches. And so overall, I was pretty impressed with the Bengals receiving core, impressed with the Bengals on the offensive side of the ball on Sunday against Indy.
Mark, we had 14 games to watch Bill Lazor do what he could with Ken Zampezi's playbook last year, and all the talk this offseason was, well, Bill Lazor's offense is going to be different. When you do a deep dive and you compare what we saw on Sunday to the 14 games that Bill Lazor was designing game plans for last year, what were some of the differences and similarities?
Well, I mean, some of the differences, you know, we've talked about a bit in getting the ball out quickly, you know, trying to rely on those underneath routes, doing some things schematically to scheme some stuff deep in the passing game like that post route we were just talking about. You know, there are still some similarities as well. I mean, both offenses did have sort of a reliance upon the quicker passing game and trying to get the ball out of your hands. You know, there was some interesting stuff from, you know, screen game that was similar from both Zampezi's playbook, you know, two Lazors. But I also like some of the stuff that, you know, Lazor did early in that game with Eifert. You know, you come up, you have that interception on the first play, the first passing play of the season when you get quick pressure in the middle. But you come back, you know, you get a second and six situation where you, you know, bring a receiver in motion, you fake the jet, you fake an inside run, and then you've got Eifert, your tight end, who's in the backfield as an H-back, kind of as a fullback alignment, and then you just recamp back to that side of the field where the jet motion receiver came from. That was a nice sort of creative design and something I didn't see a ton of from this Bengals offense last year when it was Zampezi's playbook, where you're using motion and misdirection and stuff pre-snap to really get that defense to think. Anytime you get guys on the defensive side of the ball to think a little bit, change their eye angles and give them something different to look at, you're going to create some mismatches. You're going to get some mistakes on the defensive side of the ball, and that plays a perfect example of it.
Mark Schofield, InsideThePylon.com, is with us. Mark, let's switch gears. Let's look at the Bengals defense and what they did against the Colts offense. To me, I think it was underwhelming, and most fans were underwhelmed by the Bengals defensive line, especially going into the season. I think most people think that that is their best position group. When you watch that defensive line go up against the Colts offensive line and Andrew Luck dropping back, how much of it was the Bengals just not getting pressure, and how much of it was Andrew Luck just being really good in the pocket?
Well, I think there's actually another aspect to this that's important to keep in mind, and, you know, you should put some context to it, because, you know, Luck dropped back, I think it was 53, you know, he had 52 passing attempts in that game, dropped back some more times because there were some sacks here and there. But the majority of his throws, 48 of his passing attempts, were 15 yards or shorter. They really went into this game, Frank Reich and company, with an emphasis on the quick passing game for a couple of reasons. One, you know, that's, you know, the West Coast, more air raid type stuff where, you know, that's his coaching philosophy. But two, it does look like Indianapolis is trying to sort of get the ball out of Luck's hands quickly, protect him, protect that offensive line, and rely on the quick passing game. So on a number of plays, you've got, you know, 1-2 seconds and the ball is out. It's hard, even if you're a fantastic defensive line, to get home and get pressure. And so I think that's something to keep in mind, is that, you know, you're not going to face an offense that's going to have this philosophy week in and week out. Yes, Baltimore is more of a West Coast team as well, but I think they do some more stuff and some slower developing plays. And on one of the sacks that they had of Luck, it was a slow developing pass concept. And you saw Dunlap come off the edge, beat the right tackle, and get to Luck and force, you know, a sack and a fumble type situation. And so I think it's important to remember that Indianapolis did some things in their scheme and with their play calling to sort of limit the opportunities for a defensive line and to limit the exposure to their quarterback.
Isolate for me, you know, one of the bigger moves the Bengals made during training camp was moving on from George Ailoka. Jesse Bates stepped in, first career game, played all 79 snaps. When you look at him critically, would you like, would you not like?
I mean, for the most part, I think he played a fairly sound game for them. I mean, there were some plays, you know, where perhaps he was caught out of position here and there. But remember, for a game like this, where most of the stuff was happening in front of him, you know, I think he had a decent enough afternoon where I wouldn't be too worried about him right now. You know, you're going to face more tests throughout the season. You're probably starting, you know, this Thursday night against Baltimore. We're going to see some more stuff in the vertical passing game. And then as the season goes along, you start seeing, you know, for example, Pittsburgh, who likes to do some more stuff in the vertical passing game. So he'll get more of a test. I thought he comported himself well, and I don't see any reason for Bengals fans to be panicky just yet about him.
Mark, is the Ravens, I know they switched personnel among their receiving group. They got Crabtree and John Brown and Willie Snead, and they certainly have different faces. Is their offense, when you watch that Buffalo game, is it the same?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, it's the same sort of offensive philosophy. You know, they're going to rely on crossing routes. They love to do boot action with Flacco where they get him on the move. They'll scheme together some vertical shots here and there with guys like Crabtree, maybe with a Brown here and there. But for the most part, it's the same type of Baltimore Ravens offense we've seen from them for the past couple of seasons. You know, obviously the added X factor is how much they're going to use Lamar Jackson. We saw him early, you know, on two quarterback personnel packages where they had both him and Flacco on the field. He does give defensive, you know, coordinators something extra to sort of game plan for and think about. So that's sort of the added wrinkle that we're seeing to this Baltimore Ravens offense. It's a little bit different from years past.
It's Mark Schofield, InsideThePylon.com. Good stuff there. You can also catch him daily on Locked On Patriots, which I'm a Brady guy. I hope the Patriots whoop the Jaguars this year. I don't even have the Jaguars in the playoffs. You guys heard that. I don't even have them in the playoffs. I think they're overrated. Blake Bortles. Fake. All right? Fake Blake. Blake the fake. Whatever you want me to call him. Man. That's awful. Also, I think I might have to come up with a nickname for Bobby Hart. If he's going to continue to start, and I heard, here's what I'll tell you. I think Bobby Hart's going to start for the Bengals tomorrow. But I think they'll quickly move it to a rotation if he struggles. That's all I know. I'm James Erpine, back at it tomorrow morning with a prediction for tomorrow night's game, Bengals-Ravens prime time. And then we'll have a recap podcast as well, late Thursday night, maybe early Friday morning. Until then, until tomorrow, I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out theathletic.com/LockedOnBengals. Also, my bookie promo code Locked On. Thanks for listening. Follow on Twitter, by the way. We're getting close to 8,000 at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. Until Thursday, thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.